Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
Hey, what's happening everyone? Ezra Henry here, episode 62 of the Moto 247 show. Let's see if I can get through this podcast without absolutely coughing my brains out here. After Daytona came down with a little bit of a sickness here, but we're all good right now. But just a busy week. Unfortunately, the schedules weren't really meshing up to get an episode out Sunday or Monday like we normally do. So anyways, better late than never, right? So it's Thursday here, and with it being this far late in the week, I think it's a good little opportunity to preview Indy a little bit. So talk about Birmingham and preview Indy a little bit as we're only a couple days away. So yeah, anyways, it's just me right now. Dean will call in here in a second, and we'll discuss all the good stuff going on. But as of right now, before he calls in, I'm going to go over points and stuff, heading into, what do we have, round 10. Holy crap, we're at round 10 right now. So we are absolutely blazing through the Supercross season here, round 10. But anyways, in the 250 class, man, the 250 East is pretty close. As you guys know, Tom Vial holds the red plate there with 74 points. In second, Cameron McAdoo with 73. Pierce Brown, somehow, he's a pretty sneaky guy this year. Right up there in the points battle. Heck, there's so many guys right up there. So, that's, the same thing can be said for multiple people, including, like, Cody Shock. Unfortunately, going down with a broken collarbone. Talk about that with Dean in a bit. But that definitely blows. But anyways, Pierce Brown there in third with 69 points. Hayden Deegan there in fourth with 62. Cody Shock tied for fourth there with 62 as well. Back in sixth is Seth Hamaker with 59. Daxton Bennick as well with 59. Eighth is Max Anstey with 53. And that is an absolute heartbreaker as well. Holding the red plate somehow after the most insane first three finishes of the year to hold the red plate. Like, I don't know when the last time we ever seen like crazy finishes. Like, I get it if you're not, like, you don't necessarily have to win a crazy amount to hold the red plate, and Dungey proved that a lot too. Like, he won a lot, but just that consistency of getting second and thirds and not having those bad races, like, like, let's say like a win and sixth or even like a fifth or whatever. But yeah, that was not the story this year so far for Anstey. I could have swore it was like a 2.68. Don't quote me on that. I don't have that pulled up right in front of me, but it was somewhere near that where it was like some crazy Loretta Lynn's C-Class finishes. And we'll talk to Dean about that because that's how he brought home the C-Class championship at Loretta's with, four something. So I'll have to bring that up. I haven't said anything to him, but yeah, Joey and I were discussing it. Last week it was like, holy crap, I don't know how he has replays, going into this past weekend, but absolutely was pumped for him. That was the word, the rumor on Twitter, the rumor on Instagram, all the social media sites that he was absolutely hauling going into this season. So sucks to see that, but heck, we've seen some pretty crazy stuff so far in this championship. So, it's not over to the fat lady sing. So, yeah, but back in ninth is Henry Miller with 48 points. And rounding out your top 10 is Jalik Swole with 47. And the points through 11th and 12th, right there with Hymus and Welton are really close as well. And it's a big drop down the Forkner. And obviously he's out. And there's a few guys tied there with 27. But yeah, anyways, Tom Vial, man, he's doing pretty good. A huge step forward, but a lot, I think a lot more questions can be answered this weekend in Indy, if he doesn't get the win, but even if he just gets up there on the podium and puts in a really strong ride, I think a lot of questions going into the round, or let's say going into Daytona, it's more of an outdoor style track than this past week with no whoops or anything. But he got it done in the more traditional style track. And now let's see if he can get it done. And it's probably going to be a brutal, ruddy indie track like it normally is. So I think he can shut a lot of people up if he goes in. And even if he doesn't get the win, if he just puts in a really strong ride. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what he can do this weekend. Really root for him. But, yeah, the points are super close. The top three, they're, you know, separated by 5 points. And, yeah, you can't count Hayden Deegan out either. You know, he's back there and forth with 62, so what's he, 12 points down? And, yeah, there's still, what, 5 more rounds, so including the shootout there. So, heck, a lot of things could happen, 5 more rounds, 12 points. So, yeah, can't count him out, but that's something I really don't want to touch on the whole Hayden Deegan thing right now by myself. So once Dean gets on the phone, I'll talk to him about that. But, yeah, there's a – I don't know, it seems like each race, it's just something going on with Hayden, so. I love the fight, love a lot of, you know, qualities that he has, but over the last past couple weeks, and it's like, come on, man, come on. But, yeah, I talked to Dean about that, but, yeah, going into Indy, it should be a really good one. Obviously, we're in the indoor stadium, thankfully, so we don't have to worry about Mother Nature, you know, bringing us rain and having another mutter. So, yeah, I think it should be some good racing. A really ruddy race, and maybe it'll be a little bit like last year, and we can get Ken Roczen out front there. So anyways, talking about Roczen, diving into the 450 points here in case you guys need a little refresher as I'm waiting to get Dean on the phone here. And this is scary because Jet has already opened up a 13-point lead. He's there first in the points with 185, Cooper Webb there in second with 172. Chase Sexton in third with 165. Eli Tomac in fourth with 159. Ken Roczen in fifth with 153. Jason Anderson sixth with 147. Aaron Plessinger in seventh with 146. Justin Cooper in eighth with 108. Dylan Ferrandis in ninth with 107. And rounding out your top 10 is Justin Barsha with 95. So the points are starting to open up in the 450 class, unfortunately, and Jet is kind of just taking off. That's the thing I've kind of been fearing the whole year. I just want some really good racing. Don't want wish anything bad on anyone in this class or anyone in racing in general, but I just want some really good racing. And, you know, if Jet gets the top 5 start or a top 3 start, like he's put in some weird rides, you know, some rides where he's been off and not getting the win and going back to Arlington where he threw it away, but he's just making this look easy. And even going into from the 250 class to the 450 class, I thought he was going to come in like a wrecking ball and do some serious damage. And even when a lot of people kind of, you know, had some doubt just because he was successful in the 250 class, that it wouldn't really necessarily transition over as much into the 450 class. I definitely kind of feared that he would be the guy, you know, maybe not right off the bat, but the guy where you can't really mess around with him, even in year one. And he's kind of, I think, really went above and beyond of whatever I was thinking before. He's absolutely killed it in the outdoors, obviously, and then this year in Supercross so much. I think it's just his mistakes that have really hindered him. And look, he's has a 13-point lead now going into round 10, we're going into or already started our second half of this championship, and he has a big lead, and so it's Cooper's job or Chase the step up. Tomac's back there and forth and lurking back there, but no one has really stepped up. I think we're all, I don't know about you guys, but we're all just kind of waiting for someone, if it's Webb, Sexton, or Tomac, or heck, even Roczen, to step up and be that guy challenging Jet. And I know that Jet only has a few wins this year. Not like he has a significant number or even half the amount of races that we've had so far, but it seems like he's always the guy when it's like, if you go back to, like, I know most of you guys probably played Reflex or any moto game, right? And there's a certain point to where you get pretty good. And I'm not talking online. I'm just talking against the AI riders on there. And there's a certain point that you would just have to maybe give them 20 seconds in the start, then go. That's one thing Joey and I would always do. We'd play multiplayer, give the guys on Reflex a 20-second head start, then try to do our little points championship there, and it was always kind of fun catching up through the pack and seeing how we would do, and it was always funny because one of us would struggle and just absolutely like collide with every AI rider on there, and then the other one would just go through pretty cleanly. But in the end, it was always one of us, you know, getting first and the other getting third. And what I mean by that is it seems like it's always the same thing. If Lawrence starts eighth or whatever, he's going to work his way through relatively pretty quick. And I know guys like Tomac and Sexton can work their way through, but it seems like he just has no problem at all. And it's almost like it's just time. Like I get it. You can give all these, you know, top guys like Sexton and Tomac more time, and they can obviously catch up more if they get a horrendous start. But it's like no one's going to ever come from behind and pass Lawrence. And I think that's one thing we've all waited for, right? And Webb's kind of did it. He definitely has the balls to kind of do it and show him who's boss. He did it early on in Anaheim, kind of last week in Birmingham. I don't think that was 100% intentional to collide with him like that, but I think he even said that. But even just being up there and where a lot of guys are just kind of not necessarily letting him by, but not really like, you know, putting the front wheel up in there and challenging him. So I'm just more or less wanting one of the guys like Tomac. I know it's, you know, maybe his last year later on in his career, and just I want to see some aggressiveness. I don't want to see no Hayden Deegan crap, but just, you know, a little bit of something. You know, like Tomac had a really good podium interview a couple weeks ago saying how he, you know, he's tired of being called the old guy. So he talked the talk there. He needs to do it. So he needs to come out and show he's not the old guy. He needs to come out with that speed. But it's hard being said when Chet makes everything look so easy. I was sitting behind, like I talked about last week, I was sitting behind that gnarly section at Daytona where everyone was messing up. And I went through and rewatched the race, and you can obviously see a lot of people are messing up, but it looked way worse in person. You know, constantly seeing guys go across that section right in front of me the whole race. It was like hardly anyone got through it clean, and Anstey got through it clean. He was one of the only guys that got through it clean a lot during his heat race, and I definitely thought he was going to win because of that. And unfortunately, the main did not go that way. But man, it's just one of the things where Jet makes everything look pretty easy. He had a couple sketchy get-offs, you know, on that section at Daytona, but besides that, he looked like he just was going through a little, you know, Sunday, you know, cruise. So I don't know. I need someone to challenge him, and you know, who do we got moving forward? Tomac is on his way out. You know, Roczen's up there in age. Anderson's up there in age. Sexton's young, but hopefully just more time on the new bike, the new KTM there for Sexton. He'll get, you know, more speed and stuff, but yeah, this is definitely, I think, a scary sight for Moto fans if you're not like a huge Jet Lawrence fan. Just for the sense of someone just purely dominating and not making a main, you know, good. Normally a 450 main is good where you bust out your popcorn, you're gonna have some good battles, and even when Tomac was absolutely hauling, you know, years ago in his prime, he definitely made the races really good. So with Jet, it's like, I swear the 250 races are pretty good, and then you turn on the 450 race and it's time to pull out your phone because it's like, what the heck's going on? We just need someone up there challenging him. But man, you know, love him or hate him, you got to give props to him because the kid is freaking fast. But anyways, Dean texted me here, so I think he's all ready to go. Give him a call and get him on here and talk about some racing here. We got, some stuff to talk about, some Hayden Deegan fine or penalties and stuff to talk about and more. So we'll get him on here.
Okay.
And we got Dean on the phone here. And, just talking. What I was saying a second ago, just gonna bring up some stuff about last weekend in Birmingham, then do a little preview for Indy here. But first off, I guess we, you know, had an interesting race last weekend in Birmingham, and I guess we'll kick it off here with what's your thoughts on the whole Hayden Deegan thing? I think that's a big thing on social media this past week, and especially with the fines and the stuff that AMA has put out from his incidents. But I don't know about you, but I'm kind of getting sick and tired of, you know, seeing this, his, I don't know what you want to call it, tantrums or whatever over the last past couple weeks here. It's, I guess, interesting. Like, I was rooting for him, kind of been a fan, you know, a quiet fan. I liked a lot of things he, you know, has done, and but over the years, but at the same time, a lot of things, you know, I don't agree with. But over the last past couple weeks, it's kind of getting sick and tired of seeing what he's doing. But I guess, what's your whole thoughts on the, I guess the first turn with the whole Haymaker thing? I don't know. I don't see how. I guess interested to see what his take is after watching the film on that.
Oh, I was just talking about it with my dad, and I think him and his dad are the new Mike and Tony Alessi is like kind of the conclusion. I feel like that statement really sums it up, you know?
Yeah. I think that's kind of been talked about or brought up in the media this week. It's kind of funny, 'cause it's like all this, and especially with the hype too, right? He has all this hype behind him coming out of amateurs, and then he's doing, you know, pulling all these moves, and I don't know, like, I like a lot of the stuff, like, last year, like, he was one of the guys that he made the racing pretty interesting, and he definitely has the balls to, you know, put a front wheel up in there somewhere, and not afraid to, you know, give, or put up a good battle. But it's like, after the last past couple weeks, it's like, yeah, I definitely think he needs to mature a little bit, and I know he has, you know, Brian Deegan, his dad there, like, in his corner, and I don't know what's, you know, like, I would like to be a fly on the wall, you know, in their motorhome or whatever, and, because I don't know what's going on, like, week after week, it's like, what the hell, and, like, I don't know, the first corner, like, I think he can't be pissed at Seth for it, and I don't know what Brian is saying for it, but I think that's stupid. Like, the replays definitely show he cut over, and it's, you know, a racing incident, and kind of, you know, shit happens, right? But I think it's whole thing's stupid.
Did you hear that he got fined for that too? Because, like, there's actually, like, a rule in his handbook about confrontation and everything like that.
Yeah, he got fined $1,000. Like, yeah, where's that money going? It's kind of like the NFL fines. It's like, where's the money going? Because the NFL is, like, known for being just, like, robbing players. There's so many things that players do that deserve fines, but there's a lot of things they do that don't deserve fines. Like, there's a Detroit Lion this year that got fined for, like, making this simple block, and it was, like, 40 grand. It's like, okay, where's that 40 grand going? Is it going towards the player he, you know, supposedly, you know, like, not confronted, but, you know, roughed up? Or then for Hayden Deegan, it's like, okay, where's that going? And what's that $1,000 fine gonna do? And
I mean, hopefully it's kind of like somewhat getting a message through to him, but like you said, like, you don't know what him and his dad are saying. It's like, I feel like they're, you know, like, almost leaning into it, like, you know, just wanting to make it like a freaking reality TV series or something to make, you know, make the drama on.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the star guys, like, I guess curious to see what the team thinks of it, you know, like the mechanics and everyone in the office, but like, just the riders hearing the podium interviews and the press race, you know, or press conferences after the races. And there's a couple clips I saw of them where they're like, like Kitchen, I think it was a few weeks ago when the West Coast was going, and he was talking about how it's nice not to be around that. And some of the people, you know, there's so many like diehard Deegan fans that follow their YouTube and everything, and that kind of aren't like diehard Moto fans. Like, they don't know who is who besides Deegan. And it's just a kind of a weird thing he's brought to the sport, which is cool. A lot of new fans, but at the same time, it's, I guess, just really weird. And yeah. I hope a message is being, you know, I think, you know, it's what the AMA is doing is definitely pretty clear. But at the same time, I don't know if they're just going to lean into it and kind of put up the middle finger and say F you to it, you know, and it's going to, like, watch them start, posting and making, like, merch that says, like, hate, or the Deegan versus the world or something. So I don't know. Right. It's pretty crazy. You know, you got the first turn, then you got the off track thing with him, which I don't know. I think Hardy was one of the guys too that went off track with him as well, and a couple guys cut the track there a little bit. But so it's kind of awkward that they didn't give all three of the riders there a fine, but or docked them, but whatever. Then so he had, you know, those two incidents, and then he had the last corner pass there and Cody Shock. What was your thoughts on that? That was, I get it, the last corner is, you know, kind of up for grabs, and for when it comes to you know, let's say T-boning someone or just running it up there on someone, but I don't know, for seventh, like would you do that necessarily? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people want to necessarily hate on anything they can about Deegan, but it's more the thing where I was thinking, like, I don't know, like, I kind of, you know, I get it. Racing's racing, but it just more or less sucks for Cody Shock. But, yeah, moving into, I guess, non-Deegan stuff. Yeah, Viel's ride was really good, and he's kind of finally breaking out a little bit, and let's see if he can carry his momentum over into a more of a normal style Supercross track this weekend. I feel like we're making, you know, small steps towards a normal track after, you know, the Daytona track, then going to the mud prep track of Birmingham, then now going into Indy, and Indy's going to be a really gnarly ruddy track. And do you think Viel can, I guess, kind of keep this up, not even necessarily the win streak up, but just being up there is like I guess just one of the guys up there with like McAdoo and Deegan, let's say, or if Deegan's up there.
Yeah, right. Deegan's like almost kind of hitting the panic button. I don't know if he's just roughed and banged up or what, but he hasn't been riding that good. But yeah, as far as Viel, like, I don't know, because this weekend's a triple crown, which is really going to shake things up too. That's like, if it wasn't a triple crown, I would say Viel on the podium for sure. Just he's been riding so good, but there's these triple crowns always seem to really shake things up, and this post is already proven to be very hot and cold, and riders are just shuffling around like crazy. So and then said, now you throw a triple crown into it too. I hope Viel is at least on the podium, and like you said, I'm really excited to see him carry momentum and maybe come bring home a title this season. I'm really starting to like what I'm seeing from him, and he seems like a likable dude, and he's the champ, you know, and he's used to winning. So
I think he's catching that fire, and he was, you know, like you said, the champ over in the GPs, and I think he's feeling that again, and confidence is huge to any racer, and he's kind of getting that and getting more comfortable, I bet, you know, it's over halfway into his second season here in the U.S., so I'm really rooting for him, and it kind of brings me back to what you were saying earlier this year when you're talking about Prado and how he's this really likable guy, really, it seems, you know, really mature, get his stuff together, and I think that goes for Viel as well, and I'm really pumped for him, you know, to be up there and finally got his first win in the U.S. A couple weeks ago in Daytona, and getting that second one was huge. They get that red plate last weekend in Birmingham, but yeah, I think he's reminds me a lot of Prado, where he just is very likable, where very I guess anti Deegan, so not to hate on Deegan anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, have you heard the rumors about Prado too for next year?
Yeah, Cowie.
Yeah, it seems like he's gonna have Adam Cincirillo's spot.
Yeah, where do you think Adam's going? Like, I don't know. Like, he's
maybe Dean Wilson's spot. Like, he's like, Adam's already kind of seeming to kind of have like a career going like Dean Wilson's, like very likable, great personality for the sport. He's just not, you know, just plagued with injuries, and he's still like a solid main event guy, and Dean Wilson's on his way out, you know, or
yeah, like
I don't know. I mean,
Adam's still relatively pretty young when it comes to the sport, you know, is what he has to be 27. I could be wrong, but he has to be around there, 26, I believe, 27.
Yeah.
So he's not, you know, 30 or anything. I think that'd be a good move for him to kind of have that, let's say, even just that World Supercross schedule too, to where he has the freedom to the race over here in the spring, and or the winter and spring, and then go over there, you know, have a little bit of a break, then go over there and do some more Supercross races. I really don't know how his arm is affecting him, like if it would be better than or a good alternative than going to the outdoors. But yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. I'm just, that's been a big question mark, I guess, I've been thinking about lately, and I hope he you know, still finds a way to, you know, get a ride here. I think a team like that would love to have him, but it just sucks with his whole injuries that he's been dealing with the last few years. Like, he's one of the kids, and there's a lot of great kids over the years that have come up through the amateur programs absolutely hauling and not, you know, not really able to put it together for their pro careers, which really sucks. But he's, I don't think you can really compare him to like any of those guys. Like, he was on a completely different level. And even early on in his career, like when he won, you know, in his rookie year, like, and that dude looked like he was 13 on the bike. He was, that's back before he grew, you know, to 6 foot, whatever he is right now. But, yeah, I hope he still feels like, you know, he has a couple years left in him. But I don't know. I got to listen to his podcast. What's it, Plugged In with AC or something? I have not listened to that. I saw a couple clips, but I don't know. It seems pretty good. But yeah, I've heard some good clips on Insta. But yeah, I guess going back into the 250 class, one thing I'm really pumped to see as well, talking about VL, is pumped to see McAdoo up there as well. He's been consistent and kind of the opposite of what he's been throughout his career. And he's been up there, and also Handmaker is up there really and doing pretty good the last few weeks as well. So that's cool to see. And I'm just, I guess, more or less rooting for the whole PC team. They've had a rough, what, like last, not decade, maybe last 7-8 years. It's been a, not a dry streak per se, because they've had the AC title and stuff and the Hill title in there, but it's definitely been rough compared to, you know, the dominating years that they've had, it seemed like forever before that.
Yeah.
But yeah, going into the 450 class, what do you, like, do you think it's Jet's title to lose right now? Like, he's up 13 points, so I guess it kind of is sort of in a way, but I don't know. I was just talking about before you got on here, I was just ranting a little bit about anything and everything, and it seems like Jet is, I guess, just the one to beat, and if even if he starts a couple spots, you know, out of the lead in the first lap, he's still going to be right in it. He's one of the guys where, unless he starts like outside of the top 10 or screws himself like he did in Arlington, and I think, you know, each week he's learning and gaining more knowledge and I guess just more or less maturing and probably getting used to that bike as well. So do you think it's, I guess, his title to lose? Like, Webb and Sexton and stuff are not far back, but I guess Sexton's pretty far back. But besides, you know what I mean. Webb's 13 points back, though, but he's looking good. But, man, Jet's on another level for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think Jet is really, really separating himself, you know, as far as, like, just showing that he is the guy. And, like I said, it, like, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of gritting my teeth, like just waiting for like a big catastrophic mistake or something that leads to an injury that it might take him out. Cause like that's, like you said, anymore, I think that's just the only thing that'll do it. And I think I've made the statement, like, it's just reminiscent kind of like Roczen, you know, before his really catastrophic arm injury, where he was just believing he was all that and everything. And, you know, and the only difference is that when Jet's making these wins, he's really just maintaining and like riding at like an 80%. And it looks like he's not even trying. And then he'll just maintain a gap. Like last week, and Coop said he really like turned it on at the latter half of the main to really start chipping away at Jet's lead. And then he just knew he couldn't, because then he could just tell Jet picked it up and the gap just stayed the same. And he's like, are you kidding me? Like, he's just able to control a race like this where like, or Kenny or these guys that have already had other injuries, you know, like that, like where, you know, like Kenny's injury, at least, for example, he was like just trying to like dominate and like check out, you know, every single main event. And that just led to his demise.
It did, but it was fun to watch, like before that,
yeah, I know,
gnarly crash, but it was fun to watch. Yeah, these Jet right. races are boring. Like, I'm starting to pull out my phone, like starting to like daydream, starting to,
yeah.
do anything but watch the TV. Where normally I'm sitting down for a Supercross, and if I have nothing going on, you know, where I have to be somewhere or whatever, I'm sitting down, and that has 100%, you know, of my attention. And now it's just like, okay, let me look around, let me pull out my phone, you know, go with the tender or something. I don't know, you know, but yeah. It's, which, you know, it's smart, you know, if you can maintain like a 4 or 5 second lead, or what's he does, like a 3 or 4, whatever. And yeah, then you're not pushing it, and then heck, you know, you're faster than everyone. So, oh shoot, Cooper's coming. Then you can just push on the gas, you know, a little bit more. And then, it's like kind of like when you're playing around, and like reminds me of like when you go back to when you're kids and you're playing around, and you have like a little, sibling or something, and you're entertaining them, and they're chasing you, and they're all like laughing and giggling and stuff, and they're like right behind you, and then they get a little bit faster, and then you just go a tiny bit faster so they can't catch you, or so you're just wearing them out, so you don't have to deal with them later. They'll, you know, go take a nap. But it's just boring to watch, man. But like I was saying earlier, it's just, you gotta give props to him, because I'm not a huge Jet fan or anything, but the kid's absolutely on fire. So major respect, right, to what he can do on a bike. So it's just pretty crazy. Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I'm really hoping that Chase can make a run. This year has just been off. I don't, like last year, he looked so fast, looked so good besides crashing when he did, which this year he stayed up on two wheels a lot more, you know, than he did last year, but which is awesome to see. But he's not having that like pure speed that he did last year, which is kind of unfortunate. Like I wish we can like have Jet, you know, go back to last year and see where he would stack up. And even if he would win, I think he would make, like, him and, or Sexton and Tomac would make it a lot more interesting than they are this year. Like, Tomac has been all right, you know, at best, and had, the Triple Crown was a good race, and heck, this weekend's the Triple Crown, so maybe he can put in a good moto. But besides that, it's kind of been, you know, crickets so far in the 450 class, and it is stacked. But yeah, then going back to what you were saying a second ago with 80% thing, at work earlier this week, I was listening to The Pulp, and David Villeman was on there, and big fan of that dude, so it was cool to see him on there. So I had to tune into that episode, and he was talking about the 80%, and he was like, yeah, he's just at the 80%, which is, you know, a lot faster than everyone else, but if he needs to go into that kind of reserve and that, you know, the push above that 80%, that's where he makes his mistakes. But, and that's what, like you said, that you're kind of waiting for, right? And I told Joey when we're at Daytona, we're right in front of that sketchy section by that tunnel jump there, and where everyone was eating crap, like Plessinger and Ferrandiston, and it was
Wilson.
Yeah, and Wilson. So many riders, like every lap, and they hardly showed anything on TV compared to actually what was going on there. But like, it was like every lap, people are going off the track, landing in puddles. Everyone on the fence line was still there. Then they would like jump back because they're all getting splashed from whoever was landing in the puddles there. But everyone's almost like freaking dying on that section. And he was going in it with into that section with so much speed and doing that quad there. And I remember I was telling Joey early on, and this might have been before the main. I could have swore it was probably like the heat race or something. I don't think it was qualifying, but it was early on in the night show, I believe. I'm like, okay, like, Jet's gonna eat shit in this section right here. I'm calling it. He's gonna, you know, have that rookie move where he's absolutely faster than everyone else, and one lap it's gonna come up and bite him. And I said that, and what round was that, on the West Coast in the whoops, when it was the muddy race, not San Fran but San Diego, where he was hauling in those whoops and he ate crap there. And I called it in Daytona, and he came close to crashing a couple times, not too gnarly of get-offs or anything, like just a couple where it's like, ooh, it kind of hold your breath there for a second. But, you know, for the most part, he held it together, and he just made everything look easy. And that's one thing where it's like, heck, he's a rookie right now. So if he's doing this good in his rookie year, you know, who knows where he's going to be in year two and year three and beyond. So I guess more or less it's just crazy to see. And the thing is, someone needs to push him out of his comfort zone. But to do that, they're, whoever it is, if it's Cooper or Sexton or Tomac or Roczen, you know, they're obviously going to have to go out of their comfort zone too. And then it's more or less, I think, going to be of who's going to make a mistake first. So, which is anyone going to really hang it out that far to try and battle up there. You know, I don't know. So it's just, I just want good racing, which I've said multiple times. But yeah, going into Indy Triple Crown should be some good racing. I feel like I said it a lot, but I don't know. I think it should be if Jack gets a, not a first place start. If he gets outside of the top five, I guess. If he gets like a sixth place start or worse, then maybe we have something. Maybe not. But for the 250 class, I think that should be a really good race. We'll see if Anstey can bounce back. And we're talking, I was talking with Joey last week, I think it was on the pod, about Anstey's results through the first three rounds. And he had the red plate after round three. And it was kind of like your Loretta Lynn's finish. And you got that championship down there at the ranch. What was your moto results down there? Wasn't it like four, three, six. Yes. It reminded me a lot of Anstey's results that, you know, got him his red plate. And definitely a bummer to see him, you know, DNF last weekend. So hopefully he can bounce back. And I guess now he really has nothing to lose. So he's pretty far back. I'll pull up the points real quick. VL's at 74, and Anstey is down there at, he's in eighth with 53, so what's that, 21? So, yeah, he's pretty far back, but it's been a really hectic first four rounds of the year so far, so, you know, a lot can still happen, and Triple Crown this weekend, so I guess we'll see, but, yeah, I guess we'll wrap this up here and get going, but do our podium picks, I guess, for this weekend. I'll get going with the four or the 250 class. I feel like I want to pick Hayden, but I think McAdoo is going to put in a smart ride and consistent ride for this Triple Crown and get the overall win. And I think Hayden will put together a better ride in second, and VL will be third. No. Handmaker will be third. I want VL to be up there, but I think Handmaker is going to put in a really good ride as well. And, I guess, yeah, you make your picks for the 250 class, and we'll jump in the 450 after.
My 250 picks for this weekend?
Yes, sir.
That's a Triple Crown. Like I said, I'll go with Vial for a win. Maybe Hammaker second and McAdoo third. Like, Hammaker, man, like, he was riding really good last week. And, like, you know, with everything that happened, he rips that start from the outside in the LCQ. And then with the bad gate pick in the main, he's still able to come bring it home on the podium. That's showing some strong riding.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see, like, him and Deegan are both, you know, dealt a really bad hand there last weekend, and he made the most of it, and he was right up there in the main and pushing on McAdoo there for second. Yeah, I think he's capable of doing some really good things, and he's definitely surprised me. And I guess real quick before we make our 450 picks, so the rumor is that, was it you saying that in our group chat that Shock was coming back this week?
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, I was just going to bring it up. I'm like, I don't know if you brought this up yet or not, but yeah, like, no, dude, I was watching the Color Max vlog, and they're, like, hinting, you know, and again, that goes back to, like, Hayden Deegan and wanting to make it, like, more of, like, a drama and, you know, add to, like, the story and get the whatever, just, you know, make it more theatrical. I don't know if Club's just doing it for their vlog, but they were, like, hinting at the very end of the vlog that, like, Cody Shock is going to be at Indy this week, and I don't know if he's just going to be hanging out or if he's going to be lining up. But he just had his collarbone plated on Monday. So I've been, like, watching the social media pretty closely to see, like, what's going on. But
that's pretty gnarly. Like, your brother, he's like, yeah, what do you say? Like, I don't advise that. Like, no, 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Joey said, he was riding one time within 2 weeks.
Which
10 days. So, yeah, a little under 2 weeks, 1.5 weeks or so. But, yeah, that's pretty gnarly. Like, from what I hear, it seems like once you get it plated, it's all good. It's just more or less pain, and which can take a couple weeks before you're comfortable with it. But you also have the wounds.
I was freaking out watching, like, all of his interviews after Birmingham, because he did, like, quite a bit of, like, he did, like, an interview with, I think, Vital and stuff, but then he was, like, you know, also in the vlog, like, they showed him after the race at Birmingham, like, walking around, taking his boots off, and I'm like, man, if his collarbone is actually broke, because I've broken my collarbone so many times, and, like, every time, it is just so stinking uncomfortable, like, I can't focus, like, it's not, like, a ton of pain sometimes, it's just uncomfortable, because your freaking shoulder's kind of a little unhooked, it's not, like, dislocated or nothing, but Like for me, like I, you know, I'm like, I can't even take my shirt off or like, let alone like bend over to take my boots off for myself. Like, and he's like doing interviews and stuff, like walking around. So I'm like, you know, that's where I'm like wondering like how much they're playing this up as if just like a good storyline or something. And, or,
Didn't they
you
post
know,
an X-ray up there though?
I
On
didn't see
Insta?
that.
Let me pull that up real
Was it
quick before
club?
we get off.
I
No,
said, I've been set.
I didn't watch their video, unfortunately. Those are always cool, but I don't really watch those. Holy shit, some road race. Eight crap there. What am I doing? Cody Shaw. I get distracted so easily. And that was Club that posted, I believe. Maybe. Or maybe it was a clip or a screenshot from the video or something. I don't know. If I can't find it here, I'll give up. But or maybe it's Instaclip. Here, let's see what they have. Nah, I can't find it. So yeah, who knows? But if it is all good to go, but it's just pain. That's pretty crazy. Like 4 days, and I'm following the Always Moto account. Had him on there. Him on our podcast. What's his name? I think it's David, right? From Always Moto. That's gonna kill me now. I can't think of his name. But I've had him on the podcast. He's a physical therapist, from Australia, and he made a post about it and how, like, especially with there being like 4 weeks off or something after this round in Indy, like it would be obviously he's putting in a really good year so far in Supercross, and any points you know that he misses this weekend if he's out is you know kind of crucial. But if he can kind of rest this weekend, then he has. You know, 4 weeks off until Foxborough. So their next round there. So is it really worth coming back so early, or you know should he rest up and make sure he's kind of 100% or darn close to 100%? Right. So 4 days, that's pretty crazy. And one thing too, before we make our 450 picks, talking about shock, is his heat race was gnarly. Like, I did not get to my TV in time for it. I just saw on Insta that he won. And I went back and watched the race. And honestly, like, he rode really good. Like, you know, sometimes guys get lucky. Sometimes, you know, guys go down in the first corner, you know, contenders up there. But Shock looked like he kind of belonged up there. Like, he had that fire. So definitely was
Yeah.
pumped for him. Like, he put in a really good ride. And he's seems like a really good dude. So pumped for him on that. Really, I guess devastated on the whole collarbone thing, but yeah, it just really sucks. But I guess going into our 450 picks now, I'll get that going with. I want to make a
Yeah.
different pick in fantasy because I pick Jed all the time. I don't pick like Sexton, but I feel like I'm
Well,
gonna
dude,
waste
with it being
points.
a triple crown, like the same thing. Like, I like being a triple crown. It makes it really hard to really confidently pick Jet because I don't, you know, for whatever reason, it seems like, you know, like you said, with some of his rookie mistakes he's been making, and you know, it's just three chances for him to get a bad start and or throw something away. Like, it makes me a little more nervous to pick him to win this weekend for fantasy. Saying that, I still
Yeah,
haven't picked to win this weekend in my fantasy.
I haven't made my picks yet, but I probably will because I always think it's the win-win. I don't want him to win, but if he wins, I get points, so I'm happy. But in a way, but I think he's gonna win. I can see honestly Sexton being up there or something, like getting that win. But as of right now, going with my gut, I think he's gonna get the win. Somehow in the Triple Crown, if it's even if he doesn't get all three moto wins, I think he's still gonna. Be up there with first or second or whatever it is, but who knows? We might see a rookie mistake. I guess we'll wait for that. But I think he's gonna get the win. I think Roczen will be second, then Sexton third. So we'll see what Kenny Roczen can do there back in Indy after a strong ride last year. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know if for Rocky Mountain Fantasy, I might go a little bit different than that, and I might make a couple changes before race day. But we'll see.
You keep bringing up Chase and stuff like that. Have you seen the stuff? I sent it in our Instagram group chat of him like having KYB inserts on his forks.
No, I did not see that post, but on Pulp they were talking about it though, which is crazy. They're
Yeah.
talking about that with Webb. I don't know if you listened to that episode,
Yeah,
but
no, I heard that. Yeah.
that
So
is
like
pretty
again,
crazy.
like again, and it's just like said, shows you the links and like almost, you know, puts you a little bit more inside the what's going on, like behind the scenes, as far as like how much they're searching and
and that Chase probably isn't happy with the bike.
It's just crazy. I feel like he was a lot better with Honda. Like, my opinion, obviously, a new bike. He was with Honda and on that bike for a little while. So, you know, I had a lot of time on it, seat time on it. But, shoot, I don't know. I kind of wish he would have stayed at Honda. I know it would kind of be awkward with the whole thing with Jet. And I don't know if they could have made a three-rider, you know, 450 team work. But even if he got his own RV, like a lot of guys used to do back in the day, and I don't know. Who in the heck does it? I think probably Kenny does it, or I know a couple guys do it now, just so he's, you know, away from Jet and has his own thing going on and can kind of, even like when they're talking, I think Adam was bringing it up a couple weeks ago when he was talking about when he was teammates with Eli, like he would hardly see him at all on race day, you know, they'd be separated. And I think if I was Chase, I wouldn't want to be around Jet. Obviously he's almost, you know, he's a new guy. And even though Chase won the 450 title last year, he's, I guess, the most hyped up guy in the sport right now, and Jet is. So I wouldn't want to be around him. But besides all the crashing, which I don't know if that's something Chase could ever control on the Honda, because he was going down a lot, and you always seem to bring it up in the group chats and stuff. But I don't know. Like, it seemed like he had a lot of speed that he hasn't found really at all this year, and it seemed like he had a lot of fight. He was definitely the fastest guy out there, and I'm not saying this year if he was on Honda he'd be the fastest, but I think he would make it a lot more entertaining. So I don't know. And then how much does his hand injury play a part in it? And even before that, he wasn't really on fire necessarily. Like, he has a win, but that's a mud race, which I really don't count at all. So I don't know. But it's more or less, I just wish he would have stayed with Honda, but, you know, pumped for him at KTM. But it's just going back to what you're saying, it's so crazy that they're trying that. I'm surprised it actually made it out in the media where, you know, it's being talked about, because that's a pretty pretty crazy thing that I don't think teams would, you know, like getting out there necessarily. But the fact that they're doing that, and like the fact that the factory team's doing that, it's just pretty crazy, you know. But I don't know. I just find it funny, because there's all the last couple of years with Cooper Webb, you know, wanting to try different stuff, and he brought it up on that episode, the latest of Pulp. If you guys haven't listened to that, it was a good episode, honestly. Whatever, I don't know, whatever the last episode was, you should definitely tune in to that. But yeah, he was just talking about how it's just kind of funny. He was wanting to try stuff, and they were really stubborn on it, and then, you know, this year Chase comes in, and they're all, they're open to try anything, it seems like absolutely anything. So kind of crazy. But he has been looking better. He looked good, I think, this weekend, but the track was, you know, tamed down and stuff, so we'll see what it's like here come Indy. So I guess I'm just gonna be watching this weekend and have some questions, I guess, more or less for the 250 class, like we're talking about VL and stuff, and if he can still be up there, then we'll see if, I guess, Chase can be up there, and or if it's just going to be the Jet show and Jet checking out. So I think it should be some really good racing. I think we touched on everything I wanted to touch on. Is there anything else racing-wise that you wanted to touch on?
No. No,
you did.
Yeah.
Just like maybe 450
picks.
Did you not get yours then?
Nope. Or, like, I mean, like, I said that I have Jet picked to win.
Oh, you get yours then, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I got Jet, right, as of right now, just, like, my picks after whatever. Like, I got Jet first, Cooper Webb second, Eli for third. I mean, Eli did pretty good at the last Triple Crown.
Yeah, he did pretty good. I've been trying to keep track of these picks. I have not wrote a single one of them down, so I'll have to go back through each one of our episodes. We'll see, because I'm sure our picks are, you know, different than fantasy, so it wouldn't reflect our fantasy score this year. So, at least mine don't at all. So we'll see. But yeah, thanks for hopping on here. It's definitely kind of a last minute thing. Wanted to get one in this weekend or this week. I know it's, you know, been pretty busy this week and stuff, and get one in here before Indy. And another cool thing is Moto 247. I actually missed it. It was when I was down in Florida, actually on the flight back. Moto 247 turned 10 years old, so pretty crazy. Time flies by pretty fast. So yeah, Moto 247 is 10 years old, and this podcast is Well, we started this in January of 2020, so it's 4 years old, a little over 4 years old. So pretty crazy, time flies. And yep, we're really pumped on what we have going on and stuff. Wanting to get some more, I guess, podcasts out regularly. But yeah, thank you for hopping on here, you know, last minute. And thank you guys for listening. And yeah, see you guys next week.
Attention motocross fanatics, are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte-free pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes to keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops taste absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. MotoX Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions.